The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th Century. The 4th Century. The best of the Church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Hey, I'm a Catholic deer hunter. I am happy to be clinging to my guns and my religion.
Pro-life Democrats, you're out there. You need to go get active in your party. And really, we need to change from the ground up.
Mary is the Mother of God in December, in Advent, and Christmas. She is also the Mother of God on Epiphany, and she's the Mother of God in February. She's the Mother of God in August, too.
Preach that cross, the scandal of the cross, trusting this is the source of our salvation. And when we do, if the church gets smaller, so be it. But in the end, that is what really, truly builds the church.
Injury do players in Iowa, love issues, etc.
It isn't news when a politician goes to church. Politicians go to church all the time, some of them because they're devout, some of them because it's the thing you want to be seen doing. It is news, however, when that politician is a prominent Mormon and he goes to his Mormon church on Sunday morning and he's running for president. That is news. And I, like you, am curious what happened there when Mitt Romney went to a Mormon church and the AP pool reporter was allowed to see what was going on, at least part of what was going on. What did they see? What happened? What did Romney do? I think that's a legitimate news story. And how did the media, as many as did, how did they cover it? I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Welcome back. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. Thanks for tuning us in. For the next hour, we'll start out with Bobby Ross Jr. from GetReligion.org talking about media coverage of religion issues. Then Pastor Burnell Eckert will join us. We'll remember along with the rest of the church on this 24th of August. Bartholomew the Apostle, who also goes by another name, and then it'll be time to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We'll play four soundbites for you, and you get to vote and pick which one is Soundbite of the Week. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at IssuesETC, or vote at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC. Joining us to talk about media coverage of a worship service attended by Mitt Romney and a New York Times story about New Yorkers who are abstinent, Bobby Ross Jr., an Oklahoma City-based religion writer with 20 years of experience for secular and religious publications from the Associated Press to the Christian Chronicle and a contributor to GetReligion.org. Bobby, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks. Appreciate you having me.
You covered a lot of the various news outlets that followed Mitt Romney into a Mormon church on Sunday morning and observed what was going on there. Which of them do you think did the best job of covering it as news?
I think the best coverage that I saw was the Associated Press. And the thing I liked about their coverage was the fact that they took this church service and the pool report that the reporter that went into the service filed and took that and some other examples of different developments with Romney as far as being a little more open with his faith, and then went to leading experts in the realm of politics and even professors, history of religion professors and people like that, and really gave it a well-rounded look at what this means and what's happening at this stage of the campaign.
Well, while we're on that subject, who do you think qualitatively did the worst job of covering?
Well, the coverage is, you know, most of it was pretty in-depth, so I'm probably just giving impressions and haven't studied it real thoroughly, but CNN seemed to take a pretty sensational approach to it, and, you know, bringing up the issue of polygamy and asking if powerful church leaders could somehow control a Mormon president. It just seemed a lot more sensationalistic that, you know, they made claims like the Southern Baptist Convention calls the church a cult, which they kind of just left hanging out there without any kind of background on the fact that, yes, there are theological differences between Baptists and Mormons, and yes, the SBC calls the LDC a cult, but not a sociological cult, a doctrinal cult, so it's a little more complicated maybe than the CNN report made it out to be.
How did the two papers of record, the New York Times and the Washington Post, do?
The New York Times gave a pretty straightforward account and seemed to rely pretty heavily on the reporter, and I'm not sure if there was one poll reporter or if there was more than one, but they seemed to have the narratives all seemed to be pretty much the same as far as what happened when he went into the church. So the New York Times had a pretty straightforward approach, pretty short story. In the Washington Post, it had a pretty in-depth story on Romney's Mormon background in Boston, and I'm assuming that this was a story that was slated to run Monday anyway, but he went to church Sunday and they had some new details, so they kind of dropped some of the church information into that story. And it's a pretty in-depth story, and it's a pretty meaty story. I'm not an expert on Mormonism, so I'm not sure whether they got it all right as far as the internal workings of the church, but there's a lot of information in that story. I can say that.
With regard to the New York Times coverage of it, you say that there were some questions that probably should have been at least briefly asked and answered, such as
well, they mention in up high in the story that Romney made sure to accept a small piece of white bread and a cup of water representing the flesh and blood of Jesus. And my immediate question was water. I'm not familiar with that. I'm familiar with churches using wine and grape juice, but why water? So I thought that was a question that they could have at least given some explanation of why Mormons use water instead of grape juice or wine. And I think the other question that came to me, it mentions that Romney, the story opens saying that Mitt Romney read scripture from his iPad as he juggled his two-year-old grandson in his lap. And I was curious, well, what scripture is he reading? Is he reading the Old or New Testament or the Book of Mormon? Or, you know, exactly what's he looking at there? It was a question of mine. And at the time I wrote that post, I didn't understand the fact that the poll reporter went back and read his more in-depth account of what happened, and he said, yes, there are a variety of things he could have been reading. I'm just not sure exactly what it was. I wasn't close enough to see exactly what scripture he was reading. So I think that was probably the reason for the vagueness there.
I think most religious readers are probably interested in this for two reasons. One, it is a presidential candidate, but it's a presidential candidate in a Mormon church on Sunday morning. Did the general coverage give the uninitiated reader, and most of us are into Mormon life and culture, a picture of what happens on Sunday morning with the average Mormon, much less with the non-average Mormon Mitt Romney?
You know, from my perspective, it didn't really give a lot of meaty information there. And that may have been the fact that it appears that the reporters were invited into part of the service, the main part of the service, and then there was a Bible study or a secondary part of the service that the reporter was kind of told, you got your photo op, or you got to see Romney at church, and now he's going to go do some more, and you can go on about your business, is the impression that I got.
Another story I wanted to talk to you about was a piece that appeared in the New York Times, a feature actually, that was dealing with the issue of young people in New York who are choosing to remain abstinent.
Right.
What did you find there?
Well, it was the story was friendly enough, and I guess the idea was Tim Tebow's moving to town, and the way the New York Times sees it is it's kind of mildly amusing that you've got this young man in the prime of his life, and he's decided to remain, you know, to put off sex until marriage. And so the Times said, are there any other abstinent New Yorkers? And they went and found a few conservative religious types and interviewed them. But I guess, you know, the story's friendly enough. My problem with the story is it just doesn't go below the surface at all. It just kind of assumes that these you're supposed to assume that there are religious reasons for why they're doing this, but they never really asked the sources that they interviewed, why is it important to you to remain abstinent? What do you believe religiously about this? How does your faith play into this? Those kind of questions were kind of ignored.
So the specifics from the subjects of the story themselves were missing.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's kind of like, I use the analogy of zoo animals, and you're going to, isn't this quaint that you've got these people who aren't having sex, but, to me it was almost like cardboard cutout type of interviews, and you really didn't get to know the people as far as why they're doing this, how big a struggle it is for them, what benefits they expect to receive if they are able to remain virgins until marriage, those kind of things.
There's always an obligatory quote from a local parish pastor. In this case, in this feature, it was the Reverend Michael Keller. Who is he, and what did he have to say that added or supplemented the story?
Well, he's a campus minister for, I think it's a Presbyterian, evangelical kind of Presbyterian church there in New York, and who was quoted as saying that New York's commodified approach to sex makes life more difficult for the abstinent. And he also said he didn't like the idea of organizing singles-based activities for abstinent members of the congregation. Said he didn't want to elevate that to an ultimate thing. And I was a little confused by exactly what it was he was saying and then what he meant by that. The story didn't really go into a whole lot of detail. It just kind of left that hanging out there.
So it could have benefited from just one more question, which is, what do you mean by that?
Yeah, what do you mean by that? What does your church teach concerning premarital sex? And, is this a pie in the sky kind of stuff to think that 20-something people, even church members in New York, are not going to have sex? Because, I think that's probably another element that the story is lacking, is there's a whole lot of church people out there who believe that sex is wrong before marriage, but there's a whole lot of them who find that real difficult to live up to that particular belief.
Bobby Ross Jr. is an Oklahoma City-based religion writer with 20 years' experience for secular and religious publications, from the Associated Press to the Christian Chronicle, and he's a contributor to GetReligion.org. Bobby, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks for having me.
When we come back, we'll talk about Bartholomew the Apostle. He's remembered by the church on this day, Friday, August the 24th. Pastor Bernell Eckert of Gottesdienst will be our guest. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Messiah Lutheran, Seattle, Washington. Grace Lutheran, McPherson, Kansas. St. Paul's Lutheran, Bridgeport, Nebraska. Our Savior Lutheran, Raleigh, North Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Hancock, Maryland. Messiah Lutheran, Keller, Texas. St. John's Lutheran, Maple Grove, Minnesota. Grace Lutheran, Parker, Colorado. And Our Redeemer Lutheran, Harrington, Kansas. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If your travels bring you to Northwest Indiana, the Saints of Heritage Lutheran Church in Valparaiso invite you to join us for a Christ-centered, cross-focused divine service at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning. For more information about visiting Heritage, please contact Pastor Joseph Ostafinski by calling 219-464-2810 or sending an email to heritagelc@frontier.com. You can also visit us on the web at www.heritage-lcms.org.
What happens when you take solid doctrine and solid curriculum and combine them with ancient scholars and modern technology? You get Wittenberg Academy, the very first completely online classical Lutheran high school. We are unabashedly Lutheran and offer families a rigorous standard of academic excellence. Students can pick and choose classes, or they can utilize our entire curriculum for their high school education. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.